celebrates Father's Day. And one of the songs that was sung was on our Father. Well, one of the characteristics of being a father is he is a provider. Father is a provider. Yep. And he, you know, any good father would never leave their child in want. Yep. Any good father will always see that they meet their child's needs. Sometimes, even before they ask, we reach out to them. Yep. I've got three children, and you know, before they can even ask me, at times I know what they need, and I see to it that they are provided for. And I'm sure God is much, much, much better than each one of us here. And that's why knowing God as a Father, that means one of the things He's going to be doing in our lives is that He's going to be a provider. Amen. He's going to be God, a provider. You know, one of the things that many years back, I was training five young boys who I, every, like for approximately 6 months, not 6 months, sorry, 2 years, I was training them. So I had to provide their breakfast, lunch, dinner. And that time, that was our time where our ministry was just beginning. There was no finances, there was no funds. It was purely by faith that we had stepped out to work for the Lord. So what God did, these five young boys, we were providing them for one whole year. The Lord multiplied the food in the house. That means our rice never ran out. We never went to marketing for rice. No money with us. No money means God begins to work miracles. You know, when you cannot meet your need, that's when God will begin to feed. Yep, that's when God will begin to show Himself mighty and strong. As long as you can do it on your own, He will say, that's great. But when you cannot, He will definitely meet you at your point of need. So we need to come to that realization that God is a father. Amen. And a father does not just, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. We are called into a relationship with God. That means God is calling us into communion with Him. Look into different scriptures. Jesus is called the groom and we are called His bride. When you look into Psalm 23, He is called the shepherd and we are His sheep. There's always a relationship. God is looking out to us to build a walk with us, a relationship with us. Well, when you look into God as a father, look into Exodus chapter 16, and we will see verse 3. Yeah, verse 3. We will see the people of Israel. They are in lack. Yep, they are in lack. They have no food. They have no provision. And what they do is when they are going through this hard time, they begin to cry out. And it says there in verse 3, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You see, the people of Israel did not realize how considerate or how compassionate their God is. How concerned God is over them. You know, many a times when we are going through a circumstance, how many a times we let our circumstance tell us what to feel and what to think. The people of Israel did the same. Their circumstances began to speak to them. But we see what God does. It says in verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Now here we say, God is saying, they are in need, I will rain manna for them. I will rain food for them. Come, that's our God, a God of the supernatural. You know, many a times when we think about God of the Old Testament, of raining manna, bringing water from the rocks, we think, okay, that happened then. But we need to understand, our God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the God of supernatural. He still works wonders. He still works signs. He still works even in this age and even in this day. It's just that we have not yielded to Him. We've not submitted to Him. We've not fully trusted in Him to see His hand work mightily in our lives. So the people of Israel, they saw the might of God. When you look into Exodus 17, we see God providing water from the rocks. There was no water for them to drink, and God provided for them. So God is a provider. He is a father. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17, and that's going to be my scripture for today. 1 Kings 17. We will read of this amazing man of God, called Elijah. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him in verse 2, 17 verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Now remember, one verse before that. Let's go to verse 1 if you could please. See what happens in verse 1. 17 verse 1. The previous verse. Yeah, and it says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, look at the statement he makes. Has the Lord God of Israel lives? Before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. What a confidence he had in his God. Confident in God. But look at the statement he makes. He says, verse 1. He says, the Lord before whom I stand. That means Elijah was a man who was living in the awareness of God's presence. He was a man living in the awareness of God's presence. He knew that he was a man where God's presence mattered. He says, as Lord, before whom I stand. And not just there, because of that walk with God, because of his intimacy with God, because of the relationship he had with God, he had confidence that he said, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. That means when I speak, it's going to happen. The connection he had with God brought about confidence in his God. Let me ask us, what is our connection with God? What is our walk with God? Are we close to the Lord? Are we in deep, intimate relationship with God that we can say, yes, I know that I carry that same authority, that same power, that God will definitely show himself with signs and wonders? Because yes, God has not changed, but we definitely have. We definitely have moved away. We definitely have been caught up with our work. We've been definitely caught up with our responsibilities. That we put God somewhere in our life, but not the place in our life. Here we see Elijah saying, as long as he says that before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Now we see God directing Elijah. Now there's going to be famine, there's going to be drought, okay, there's going to be lack in the land. But in that time, look at God providing for Elijah. Verse 3, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Now we see God directing Elijah. Do we know of another man God directed? A man named Isaac. In the time of famine, Isaac was seeking to go elsewhere, and God told him, no, stay there. And I will bless that land. And it says there, Isaac sowed in famine. He sowed, he reaped, and not just there, he grew prosperous. When God directs you, when you have that relationship with God as a father, and he begins to direct you, you will begin to see your life prosper. You will begin to see God add into your life. You will begin to see God multiply things in your life. From a relationship, not religion. Sunday church will not bring God's might, power, and wonders, but relationship with God. So why we come on Sundays? We come to stir ourselves up, to come to draw into a walk with God, to rub onto each other's faith, to rub onto each other that fire that's there within us, so that if God has worked something in my life, I stir them up, the one next to me, to also believe that if God did it for me, he can do it for you. Here we see Elijah being directed by God. Then it says there, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Unexpected sources. Unexpected. A raven feeding Elijah. Unexpected. Yeah. When God begins to work in your life, it will be from unexpected places, unexpected sources, unexpected blessings. The rest All around they are going through their lack. They are going through famine. They are going through want. But because Elijah is walking with God, because Elijah is listening to the Lord, because he is in a relationship with his God, he's seeing God provide for them. He's seeing God direct him. I want to challenge you. I want to tell you, if you are walking with God, you are never going to lack. You may go through the valley of the shadow of death. You may go through those moments, but you will always see God meet you at that point of need. You will always see God prepare that table for you. You will definitely walk through it. You will never be in a pause. Your life will never be paused in the valley. That valley moment is not going to be for eternity. It's not going to be forever. You will walk through it. You will pass through it. And you will always see God prepare that table for you. Why? Because when you look into verse 1 of that same psalm, it says the Lord is my shepherd. Relationship. Because of your relationship. Come on. It's all from relationship. It's not from religion. It's not from your good works. It's not because you've fasted. Fasting helps. Yes, it helps you to connect to him. It helps you to come into that awareness of who he is, dependent on him. So here we see, now it says, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook which flows into the Jordan, and the raven did come to feed him. And if you see, it says, the ravens will feed you there. Let's go to the next. And the ravens brought him bread. Now look at the next word. And meat in the morning. And bread and meat in the evening. The others are going through lack. The others are going through famine. Elijah is getting meat and he's getting bread. All because of his walk with God. That's it. All because of his walk with God. Come on. God is our Father. If you begin to walk with him, you will begin to see it. But we also see another thing happening now. When you go to the next verse, it says, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. That means now God is saying, I'm shutting this door and I'm going to take you elsewhere. Sometimes doors will be shut. God the Father, God our Father, he's interested in blessing us. He's interested in building us. He's interested that we would continually be dependent on him. Yield to him. You know, I believe for the season, maybe Elijah must have started relaxing in his faith. The brook is there and the ravens are coming. How many of us spend? We get so used to a particular lifestyle or a particular move of God. We begin to be so familiar with things that we begin to test, okay, it's there. It's there. God's moving. Yeah, it's there. It's part of our day-to-day life. And then God begins to shake you so that you begin to now get back closer to him. So that you begin to connect to him. So that you begin to yield to him. You know, shaking is good. We don't like it, but it's good. The brook drying is good. The ravens stop coming and feeding us is good. Because then we begin to turn back to God and God begins to direct us again. He is a Father at the end. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Then we see what happens later on. In verse 8, let's go to verse 8. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. A widow. Unexpected. Unexpected sources. Unexpected blessings. Unexpected people. Unexpected. People, you know, I have seen in the ministry, you know, when we have been serving the Lord. Recently, when we were in the process of buying our own place, we saw simple people God using to provide. To fund the building. Simple people. They were very well-to-do people. And they were simple people. And we saw the simple hearts, you know, which we would not even think they would give us. They would sow. No. But God surprised us by using people that we would never even think would stand with us. Yeah. So I want to tell you, God is going to use people in your life that you may have never even thought of. that God's going to do things or use instruments and vessels. Unexpected people, unexpected sources are going to be a blessing to you. So we see Elijah being looked after. Why? Because of his walk with God. When we open to John chapter 6, verses 5 onwards, we see the multiplication of the 5 loaves, yeah? The multiplication of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It says there, then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Verse 6, but this he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may eat. That means a year's wages, Jesus, is not enough. It costs. It's difficult. It's impossible, Jesus. And look at what Jesus says there. But let's go to verse 8, sorry. Let's go to verse 8. And it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the man sat down in number about 5,000. 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. We don't know the exact figure. I'm sure it's much more than 5,000. Yep. So here it says there, 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 men. Come on. Does the math make sense? Does it make sense to us? No. You know, God's accounts never match. If you are an accountant, it will never make sense if you see how God works. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000, not possible. But God works a miracle. He works miracle. That he provides for them. That's our Father. A Father who provides. I want to encourage each one of us today that God will never let you lack if you connect to him, if you walk with him, if you yield to him, if you listen to his voice and obey him, if you have a relationship with God. You know, some years back, this is in the beginning years of the ministry, one day I wanted to have breakfast outside, yeah, to go to a restaurant and have a nice meal. But I do not have the money. Yep. One day, as I was talking to the Lord, the Lord said, "Let's go." No money in my pocket. But the Lord, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Let's go." I said, "Are you sure, God?" When the bill comes, then who's going to pay it? Yep. Again, the Holy Spirit said, "Let's go." So we went. I sat down. I ordered it all. Whatever I desired, I ordered it. I had it. I had a good meal. And now the bill time. Just before the bill could come, just a couple of friends entered the restaurant. They just wished me. And they went and they sat. They were having their breakfast. And out of little fears, I was struggling in my mind now, how am I going to pay the bill? But I have to ask for the bill, right? So I call the person who was serving us. I asked him, "Could you get the bill?" So the person comes to me and says, your bill's been paid for. I said, "Who did it?" "Well, those people sitting there," and then they look at me and they're waving. I said, "Wow." But when I entered that restaurant, there was nothing in my pocket. Absolutely no way that I could have paid. Absolutely no way that I knew who would pay it for me. I was shocked. I said, "That's my God." And when we listen to him, when we have that relationship with him, we can do amazing things. You know, I normally tell the pastors that I associate with in Goa, I tell them, money is never the issue. The issue is always us. The block is always us. It is we who hinder God from working. It is our agendas. It is our plans. It is our work. It is our dreams. If we would only just put it all down and begin to listen to his voice, he would begin to look after us. He would begin to direct us. He would begin to work signs and wonders in our lives. He is a father to us. He is a father. You know, one day I went, my wife and I, we were told to go for a particular conference, and we had to pay some money. Yeah, in Indian rupees, it would be around 2,000. That is £20. I had to pay, and my wife had to pay £20. Yeah, approximate figures. We did not know how we are going to pay. This is all in those days when we did not have. Yeah. Again, we asked the Lord. The Lord said, go, because I want you to meet people there. I want you to connect with that particular organization. So my wife and I went. It was a live-in meeting for 2 days. We had to make the payment by the second day. You could pay it on the first day or you could pay it on the second day, but it had to be paid with the meals and with accommodation. So the first day we stayed, yes. Now second day, we had to make the payment. The first day, in the night, a guest, somebody knocks at our door. As he knocks at our door, it was a dormitory, so dormitory means a room that people were staying in. Each guest or each participant was staying in different rooms. So one of them comes, knocks at our door, and as we opened it, we welcomed him, he sat with us, we had a chat for approximately an hour, and just before he could leave, he just said, you know, I was in my room and I just felt in my heart, I had to give you this. And he gave me an envelope. Okay, I did not know what was in it, but he just pushed it in my hand and he left. The moment I opened it, it was exactly the figure that I had to pay to those people for the conference. That's the God that we serve. He's a God who provides. He's a God who never disappoints us. He's a God who will always meet us at a point of need. Even when we purchased our place, our hall in the city, right in the heart of Panjim City, that's the capital of our state, Goa, right in the heart. In the year 2001, God spoke to me and said that we are going to have a worship center in the middle of the city. At that time, it seemed impossible because we did not know from where the funds would come. But in the year 2018, God stirred me up. He led us into buying the place. As we stepped out, we did not know how we are going to do it. And to add to that, once we started the construction, we finished it. Now the loan, we took a huge amount of loan to clear it, was another stress. But we trusted God. And to make matters worse, the pandemic hit. And how many of us know, in the pandemic, things stood still. Yeah? The work, businesses, so many things stood still. Banks back home in India, oh my, it was a torture for us. But God did not forsake us. In the pandemic, in the famine, we closed the loan. We closed a huge loan. God provided for it. That's the Father we serve. You know, when we look into Matthew chapter 6, he says there in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6 verse 27 onwards, it says there, sorry, verse 25 onwards, Matthew 6 verse 25, yep. It says, Matthew 6 verse 25. Okay, I'll read from here. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Come on. What you will eat, what you will drink. Know about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. That's a very, very strong statement. Yeah, he's saying, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. Gentiles are those people who do not know God, who do not know the living God, who are not in a relationship with God. They are the ones who are worried about tomorrow. They are the ones who are worried about clothing. They are the ones who are worried about their future. They are the ones who are worried about what they are going to eat. He says, these things, those who don't know God, they are the ones who worry. They are the ones who carry that burden. You know, sometimes the pressures of this world does put those pressures on us, right? What about tomorrow? What about my child's fees? What about my rent? Or what about the clothing? You know, sudden expenses, or suddenly there is a medical need. We get so stressed with all these things, not knowing that if I know who my God is, He will definitely look after me. He will definitely care for me. He says, therefore these things the Gentiles seek. Then he goes further, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He says, your heavenly Father, come on, back to basics, back to our roots, connection with God, a relationship with God. Your Father knows what you need. So let us not be like Gentiles worrying about tomorrow. Let us not be like Gentiles, what's going to be happening of my life. But let us know who our God is, walk with Him, and be confident that if he feeds the birds of the air, He will definitely look after me. He is a Father to me. And then in verse 33, Jesus tells us what we need to be doing. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Come on, let us be seekers of His kingdom. Let everything else be put aside. Let us focus on building our relationship with Him. Building our relationship with Him. You know, when I met Jesus 29 years back, my only cry after He touched me was, I want to know You. I want to know You, God. It's not about a religion. I want to know You. People talk about You. That preacher speaks about You. People talk about their testimonies. I want to know You. And that desire to know Him led me to spend time in prayer. I would spend 12 to 14 hours seeking the Lord daily. Today, you know, someone was asking me, how could you spend 12 to 14 hours? I don't know. It was just my love for Him. Love. You know, when you love someone, time is never enough. You know, if you've ever fallen in love with someone, the more time you get with them, the more satisfied you feel. That's exactly what happened to me. I was in love with God. Yeah, I was in love with Him. He began to minister to me. He began to show me things. He began to touch my inner man. He began to bring about great revelations. 12 to 14 hours reading the Bible, studying, praying. I had left everything else. And from there, He birthed the ministry. You see, the work for God is birthed not because you just feel like doing it, but it is always birthed from your relationship. And He begins to work in you. It's only what He works, what you have inside, yeah, that you can pour outside. If you don't drink from heaven, you can never pour into people's lives. You need to receive from God first. You need to build your relationship with Him. You need to build your walk with Him. And I want to encourage you, God is a Father. He's not forgotten His responsibilities. He's still a supernatural God, a God of signs and wonders. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to stir up that faith within you. Let's not just be mediocre Christians. Let's not just be people who just occupy space. Let's not just be people who come on Sundays and then Monday to Saturday we are carrying the burdens of our life. We are carrying the burdens of our life. Let's not be people who are so carried by the worries of the world. Let's be people that say, God, You are all I need. Show me who You are. You know, when I met Jesus, I just cried one thing. For those who know my testimony, you know that when I went for this meeting, as I was sitting, I was disturbing everybody in the crowd. I was an unbeliever. Yeah, I gathered 4 or 5 youth more, and I started making fun of the preacher. I was making fun of the singers. I was disturbing everybody sitting around me. One man who was sitting right in front of me was so irritated with me because of what I was doing. He turns, looks into my eyes and says, brother, your life is going to change today. I looked back at him and I said, no one can change me. I'm a master of my life. But then I thought to myself, if this God really exists, let's give him one chance. And I told the Father, I said, I'm giving you one chance, Jesus. I'm giving you one chance. I challenge you, touch me. It was a prayer that transformed me completely. As I opened up my heart to him, my life turned around. My relationship with him began to get deeper and deeper with him, so much so that people called me mad. My own family members would call me crazy. People in my village, they would say, that madman is going mad. Because I would sing, I don't know how loud my decibels were. My voice, the whole village knew when I would be passing them by. They would call me mad. People who were leading praise and worship, they used to be in our area in Goa, they would have a whole night prayer. That means they would start at 9 in the night and till 7 in the morning. It was open air prayer. Now because I wanted this seat here right in front, so that I could be right in front of the band and I would get the front space. You know, I'm a crazy dancer. I love dancing. Yeah. I used to participate in dance competitions before meeting Jesus and have won prizes. So I wanted that front seat and I wanted open space so that I could rock for Jesus. But to get that front seat, now there would be 10,000 people coming for those meetings, whole night prayer. But because I wanted that front seat, the meeting is starting at 9 in the night, I would be sitting there from 9 in the morning. 9 in the morning waiting. Waiting. Excited because I'm going to meet Jesus. The band would come, they would start the setup by around 4 o'clock in the evening, and they would see me sitting there. And they would say, the band, Christian band, people who believe in Jesus, they would say, that madman has come, that mad boy has come. But do you know something? God chose to use this madman because I was passionate for him. And I carry this one fire, this one desire, that the church would be mad for Jesus. That the church would be set on fire for Jesus. I left everything. I gave it all up. My father, he went against me. He said, he made statements, if you don't work, you should not eat in this house. Because I was only seeking God. I would be spending whole day praying, so what? He's gone mad. He's useless. Good for nothing son that I have. But I kept working, kept pressing on with God. My relationship with him is what I treasured the most. Relationship. My cry to the church today, my cry to each one of you is, let's get back to our basics. You know, sometimes we have differences in our theology. We may have the Holy Spirit moves like this, the Holy Spirit does this, and some may agree, some may not agree. But I think we all agree on one thing. He is a Father to us. And he desires a relationship with us. And my cry to us is, let's open up our heart and say, God, show me who you are. Take me deeper. Now I tell people, I took a group of youth, around 20 plus youth, and I told them, I explained what I went through, how I met with Jesus. And I told them, today, the third day of the prayer, I told them, today, I challenge you, speak to God. And tell God, show me who you are, God. Reveal yourself to me, God. And do you know what happened that day? As we were getting ready, as the musicians were getting ready, the pianist, as he was just trying to set the sound, the power of God hit the place. And nearly all of them, from the 20 or so people, youth, nearly all of them were on the floor. There were around 10 of them that were in a trance, not in their senses. They were taken to the heavens. Another 5 of them were drunk in the Holy Spirit. They couldn't stand. The moment they would stand up, they would be falling down. to go. The others, they began to experience a deep communion with God. The fire of God was just touching them. Today, all of them are working with me for the kingdom of God. All of them. Because of that encounter that they had with God. Because the fire of God, the presence of God overwhelmed them. Today they are all serving with me. My cry, my passion is that the church would connect to God again. And not just a relationship, not just to go to heaven, not just to be born again, not just to get water baptized, but one step further. In a relationship, listen to Him. Ask Him, God, what do you want me to do today? You know, many of us don't want to ask God what to do today because God will always tell us things that we don't want to do. He will always stretch us. He will always stretch us. He will tell us, the people that have hurt you, He will tell you, go and bless them. Sometimes He will tell you in the area of giving, oh my, that's one area that's really stretching so many of us. In the area of giving, sometimes you don't want to give and the Holy Spirit will tell you, oh, I want you to sow today. I want to sow today. That's why the church does not want to listen to Him because He's going to stretch us. But I want to tell you, He will always stretch you for good. He will stretch you for your benefit. He will stretch you so that you receive more. So today, as we go back into worship, let's just open up our hearts and say, God, show me who you are. I don't want to continue living that Christian life, mediocre, coming, singing a few songs, you know, singing songs that sometimes we don't even live for.